Howard Rourke laughed. He stood naked at the edge of a cliff. The lake lay far below him. A frozen explosion of granite burst in flight to the sky over motionless water. The water seemed immovable, the stone flowing. His body leaned back against the sky. It was a body of long, straight lines and angles. He felt the wind in his hair, which was the exact color of orange rind. He laughed at the thing which had happened to him that morning, and at the things which now lay ahead. He knew the days ahead would be difficult. There were questions to be faced and a plan of action to be prepared. He knew also that everything was clear to him already, because the plan had been set long ago, and because he wanted to laugh. He tried to consider it, but he was looking at the granite. His eyes stopped in awareness of the earth around him. His face was like a law of nature, a thing one could not question, alter, or implore. It had high cheekbones over gaunt, hollow cheeks, gray eyes, cold and steady, a contemptuous mouth, shut tight, the mouth of an executioner or a saint. He looked at the granite. To be cut, he thought, and made into walls. He looked at a tree. To be split and made into rafters. He looked at a streak of rust on the stone and thought of iron ore to emerge as girders against the sky. These rocks, he thought, are waiting for me, waiting for the drill, the dynamite, and my voice, waiting to be split, ripped, pounded, reborn, waiting for the shape my hands will give them. Then he shook his head, because he remembered that morning. He stepped to the edge, raised his arms, and dived down into the sky below. He cut straight across the lake to the shore ahead. He reached the rocks where he had left his clothes. He looked regretfully about him. For 3 years, ever since he had lived in Stanton, he had come here for his only relaxation. In his new freedom, the first thing he wanted to do was to come here for the last time. That morning, he had been expelled from the architectural school of the Stanton Institute of Technology. He pulled his clothes on and swung down a narrow trail to the road below. He walked swiftly down the road. Far ahead, Stanton lay sprawled, the great institute rising on a hill beyond. People turned to look at Howard Rourke as he passed. Some remained staring after him with sudden resentment. It was an instinct his presence awakened in most people. Howard Rourke saw no one. For him, the streets were empty. He crossed the heart of Stanton, a broad green edged by shop windows. The windows displayed new placards announcing, "Welcome to the Class of 22. Good luck, Class of 22. The Class of 22 of the Stanton Institute of Technology was holding its commencement exercises that afternoon. Rourke swung into a side street, where stood the house of Mrs. Keating. He had boarded at that house for 3 years. Mrs. Keating was out on the porch. He was crossing the porch without noticing her. "Mr. Rourke, I'm so sorry about..." She hesitated demurely. "About what happened this morning." "What?" he asked. "You're being expelled. I can't tell you how sorry I am." He stood looking at her. She knew that he did not see her. No, she thought, it was only that he made people feel as if they did not exist. She continued, "Of course, you'll have to give up the architect profession now, won't you? But then a young man can always earn a decent living selling or something." He turned to go. "Oh, Mr. Rourke," she called. "The dean phoned for you. His secretary said to tell you that the dean wanted to see you the moment you got back. What do you suppose he can want now?" "I don't know." He had said, "I don't know." She had heard distinctly, "I don't give a damn." She stared at him incredulously. "By the way," she said, "Petey is graduating today."
"Today?"
"Oh, yes."
"It's a great day for me. When I think of how I skimped and slaved to put my boy through school. Well, not that I'm complaining. Petey's a brilliant boy."
He moved to go.
"But what am I doing, gabbing with you like that?" she said brightly. "You've got to hurry. The dean's waiting."
Rourke went up the stairs to his room. It was a large